Horatio Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. One night, a terrible Chicago fire took place. Burned most of the city to the ground. His mercantile business was completely consumed. For fear of the heartache it was causing in his family, he sent his wife and his two daughters on board a ship over to England. And then he would stay, address all the situations necessary, and come later. While they were on the ship, a terrible storm hit, and the two girls were washed overboard. They both died a tragic death. He got a wire from his wife when they got to England, and it said, "Saved alone." And so, as heartbroken as he was, he felt he needed to go to his wife. So he boarded a ship, and they were sailing across the Atlantic, and they came to the place that, according to all of the calculations, the boat was washed over and those two children died. And the captain called Mr. Spafford up and said, "Could you come to the deck?" and shared with him that. Brother Spafford sat there and wept, was deeply hurt, crushed in fact, went back downstairs. As he sat in the boat, the words to this song came to him: "When peace like a river attendeth our way, when sorrow like sea billows roll." Can't you see that? "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." He later met Ira Sankey, the great singer and organ player for the Moody Revivals, and he told Spafford he needed to finish the song, and he wrote three more verses, and they published it. And today it's still sung. Many don't know the meaning behind it. When you get the meaning behind a song, it makes it so much more important. Amen? Well, we're on our last sermon for this series. This is, I hope, has been informational and helpful. You know, if you follow the five sermons, the first was introductory, and then we had five sermons, on the life course of the believer, you will be now drawn to the final message. The first message we preached was, "We are created for His glory," all God's people said. And it was a glorious creation, and God was glorified in the creating. But every creature that He created, every human being that He created, is to bring Him glory in their lives. And we are created for His glory. Amen? That's how it begins, by the way. Then secondly, we learned that we are saved for His pleasure, God's good pleasure. We're saved because He was pleased to save us. And it brings Him pleasure to see people come to Himself. We were chosen, number three, the third sermon, we are chosen for God's service. That's our ministry. Then number four, we are maturing in Christ's likeness. That was last week. We talked about sanctification, the doctrine of sanctification. And then here's the last message. We will be changed into Christ's image. I want to call your attention to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, the first 31 verses tell us about the blessings of salvation. The last 8 or so verses tell us about the certainties of salvation. And one little verse in the middle of everything, verse 32, tells us about the grace of salvation. But in verse 29, the Bible says this, "For whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Now, there are some that believe that that verse teaches that God is in the works in progressive sanctification, conforming us to Christ's image and making us more like Christ. That verse is not talking about that, but that is true. We are being conformed to the image of his Son. We are being made more like Christ. Well, when does this conforming happen? It says that God's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. When does that happen? When will that take place? Well, let me just say to you that that word conformed means fashioned like, and that word image means in resemblance, all God's people said. Here, let me give you a verse. We will have a body eventually, someday, fashioned like unto his glorious body, all God's people said. Now, when will that take place? When are we going to have a body like his? When are we going to have a body fashioned like his? When we all get to heaven, all God's people said. So God's goal is for us to grow like Christ until one day he will come back to get us or call us home, whichever comes first. And at that moment, he will fashion you and your body so that it looks like Christ's glorified body, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Well, there are several things that happen that are necessary when we finally get home, and I want to give those to you this morning. We will be changed into Christ's image. That's talking about transformation. Transformation. And the first thing I want you to know, we will be changed into the image of Christ, write this down, in likeness. In likeness, and you may write under that, a physical likeness. We will be like him, the Bible says, Philippians 3, 20, 21. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And that's a wonderful verse, and we'll talk about that a little later. We will be changed into the image of Christ in likeness. That's a physical likeness. Now, what does that mean? In what way will that happen? Well, I give you four thoughts on that because I think it's important. Or three, at least three. I've got four, but I'll give you three of them. This likeness, this resurrected likeness, this new likeness to Christ, number one, and let me give them to me. Number one, it'll be a resurrected likeness. It'll be a glorified likeness, and it'll be a supernatural likeness. Let's start with the first thing. It'll be a resurrected likeness. Think with me for a moment. Do you remember when Christ rose from the dead? How many remember that? You've read it before? He was different. He looked the same, but he was different. They knew who he was, but he was different. It wasn't the same body he had before he died. After he died and rose from the dead, he had a body differently. Before he died, it was a limited body. After he died, there were no limitations on his body. This was a resurrected likeness. Three things. Number one, it was without earthly restraint. Write that down. His resurrected body was without earthly restraint. Think of his earthly restraint. He got tired. He got hungry. He wearied. He showed concern and burden. Lazarus had died. He wept. Those were earthly restraints. His body didn't just keep going. He had to stop and rest and give it that rest necessary to revive it so that it might get up in the morning and do again. Amen? But after he resurrected, there were no earthly restraints. He did not have to do those things any longer. A resurrected likeness without earthly restraints. A resurrected likeness, write this down, without the necessity of human blood. Did you ever think about that? Where do we get our life from humanly? The life of the flesh is in the blood. You need blood to live and breathe and move. Amen? If I sneak into your room tonight and you're sleeping, I draw all the blood out of your body, you're not getting up anymore. You're going to be deader than a doornail. Well, Christ did not have human blood once he rose from the dead. How do you know that, Pastor? Remember when he went into the upper room? We'll talk about that too. When he went into the upper room, see the disciples after the resurrection. He said to Thomas, touch me. Feel my hands and my feet. You'll find that I am flesh and bone. He did not say flesh and blood. Secondly, when Martha met him in the garden after he resurrected from the dead, he said, Martha, don't touch me. I've got to ascend to heaven. What do you think he's doing when he's ascending up to the Father? He is presenting the what? The blood that he shed for your sins. That blood was shed. He did not have blood after he resurrected from the dead because he did not need it. Then thirdly, this resurrected likeness will be earthly. Without earthly restraints will be unnecessary for blood, and it will be without the limitations of time, space, or matter, all God's people said. Think of that. We're going to have a body like his. It's going to be a resurrected body, and it won't be controlled by time, space, or matter. That's incredible. You remember when he was here on earth, in his resurrected form, he appeared to the disciples, just appeared to them. They were in the room one moment, the next moment he came in the room and he didn't open the door. Read it. He walked through the wall. Now, I got news for you. You can't do that today. If you go over and try to walk through that wall, you're going to get in some trouble. And you can walk as fast as you want and you're going to bump into that wall and you're going to get a headache. Or worse. Because your matter, what you're made of, materially, bumps into those things materially, and those molecules and your molecules bump into each other because it is impossible for you to pass through there. When you get a resurrected body, you ready for this? You can walk through that wall, turn around, come to that window, and wave to us all while we're sitting in here. Now, if you think about that incredible change, you can begin to dream about some things that are just crazy. Amen? He disappeared, then appeared. He walked through walls. He did not have to eat. He did not have to sleep. It's a different body. It's a resurrected body. It's a supernatural form, all God's people said. So when the Bible says that we will be changed into his likeness, we will be changed into his likeness in a resurrected body. And it will be a human likeness. You'll look like you look today. You won't have all the marks of sin and all the taint of sin and all the pain of sin, none of those things. You won't have any illness or sickness, none of those things. We'll talk about that also. But you'll have a resurrected body. I think that's a wonderful thing. Amen? So when it says that we will be changed into his likeness, number one, it's talking about a physical likeness. And a physical likeness after the fact, after death and resurrection. So we have a resurrected likeness. Number two, it not only would be a resurrected likeness, it would be a glorified likeness. Do you know right now you can't go to heaven in your body? Because you're still marred by sin. Amen? None of you here are perfect. I hate to give you that bad news, but none of us are perfect. We mess up, we foul up, we do wrong things, we do. And we can't go to heaven because of that yet. But when we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but it's not in this body, it's in a new body. And that new body is, write this down, it's a glorified body. It's made for heaven. It's made for heaven. It's made to live there. It's made to operate there. It's made to function there. It's made for heaven. Then let me suggest to you this glorified likeness not only is made for heaven, but it's a complete renovation, all God's people said. How many like to have a complete renovation right about now? Besides me, I mean, I like that. Sometimes your body doesn't want to get up in the morning. Amen? Now, to younger couples, young people, that doesn't affect them. They can get up at any time, day or night. They're just tough. Now, if they have to get up, for men, if they had to get up and do dishes, they probably wouldn't get up. But if they could get up and go to the Ryder Cup, I'm telling you, Robbie, you and I'd get up. I'd get up. Well, we got to leave at 3 in the morning. That's all right. I'm getting up. Got to fly to France. I don't care. I'm getting up. But the point I'm making is there's a complete renovation. You aren't going to be anything at all like you were. That transformation will be unbelievable, be complete. It's a complete renovation. And then I'd say a third thing, and get this, it's a perfect likeness. It's a perfect likeness. You will be like Christ. A perfect likeness. So we have a resurrected body, this likeness. We have a glorious body, that's the likeness. And then one more thing, it's a supernatural likeness. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Listen to these words. It's a supernatural likeness. Something has to happen. Listen to verse 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That word sleep means die. But we shall all be changed. This is going to happen at the rapture. If you're dead, your body will be raised incorruptible. If you're alive, your body will be changed incorruptible. All God's people said. So here's what it says. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, that word twinkling of an eye, it means atome of time. It's so quick. It's faster than the time it takes you to blink. In a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. Listen to this word. Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Now listen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Did you hear those words? This corruptible, you're corruptible. Your body dies, it decays, it gets sick. It falls apart. Your eyes don't stay the same. Your body doesn't stay the same. Sicknesses overtake you. People have died by the thousands every year of cancer. Your body is corruptible, but this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, and we are mortal men, we're not like God, we're mortal. We live here and we serve here and we work here and we die here because we're mortal. But this mortal must put on immortality, all God's people said. So when this corruptible, the Bible says here, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Listen to this. Death is swallowed up in victory, all God's people said. Then Paul asks a question, oh death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? The sting of sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. The law does one thing. It shows you how sinful you are. And so we walked around in this sin-cursed body, this sin-tainted body, this body that's mortal, this body that's corruptible. But eventually, it's going to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And you will have an incorruptible body and an immortal body, and then shall be brought to pass the words that are written, but thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people, the devil doesn't win. Amen? Death doesn't win. Sin doesn't win. Christ wins. This supernatural likeness will be three things. It'll be an incorruptible likeness. We talked about that. That means that this body, once you get it, will never, never grow old. It will never get sick. It will never feel pain. It will never act in the way that we act today. It will be an incorruptible body. Not only that, but it will be an immortal body, all God's people said. Christ is immortal. Amen? God is immortal. We will be immortal. Immortal. So it's an incorruptible likeness, an immortal likeness. And number three, it's a victorious likeness, all God's people said. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, and I'm able to love you with a perfect heart, then, O Lord, I'll fully know, just to thee, how much I owe. Amen? Immortal. Incorruptible. Victorious. And we won't have to fight one battle. Christ already fought them all. So number one, we will be changed into the image of his son in likeness. Number two, we will be changed into the image of his son, and write this down, in holiness. Now the first was in likeness, a human likeness. The second is holiness, or a moral likeness to Christ. Hebrews 9:28. If you have a chance, just slip over there for a moment. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Aren't you glad he did? And unto them that look for him, that'd be you and I, shall he appear the second time, listen to this, without sin unto salvation, all God's people said. What does that mean? Well, number one, he paid the sin debt one time. He doesn't have to do it again. Amen? So when he's coming the second time, he's coming to make us completely without sin. And that happens the moment that he changes our body and fashions them like his glorious body. We will be without sin unto salvation. And that is talking about eternal, complete, full, never having to do it again. You'll be saved forever, all God's people say. So our likeness is going to be a moral likeness, without sin completely. In fact, you could write by that, it will be confirmed in holiness. Without sin, unto salvation, Christ was offered once for all. He came for sin. His second coming is without sin unto salvation, or to establish and confirm us in holiness. So it would mean we would be without any sin, perfect in Christ. All God's people said. Think of this. No more temptation in sin. No more sin, no more temptation. Not about you. I get tempted about once every hour or more or faster or whatever it is. I don't know. No temptation. And wouldn't it be great just to be able to live a week without temptation? Can you imagine eternity without temptation? You're not bound by time any longer. No more curse of sin. When Adam sinned and God brought judgment, he said there's going to be a curse. The ground that you used to work that was so simple and easy and produced abundant crops, not going to be easy anymore. Rain may not come. Ground may grow hard. Rocks will be in the ground. It's going to be difficult. You will have to earn bread by the sweat of your brow. The woman who would have borne children in complete peacefulness would bear children in extreme pain, and many of the children died back then. The ground was cursed. Adam was cursed. Eve was cursed. The earth was cursed. And there will be no more curse, all God's people said. We'll be in perfect heaven. Amen? No more tempting to sin, no more curse of sin. And then I wrote this down. Turn to Revelation 21 just for a second. There'll be no more marks of sin, all God's people said. I think this is one of the most beautiful things about getting to heaven. In our new body, changed into his image. Listen to Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more marks of sin. A loved one goes in the hospital and they're in a critical condition and you're sitting there and you're wondering what's going to happen. And your heart breaks and you weep and you cry and you show great sorrow and concern. Guess what? That will never happen in heaven. Because your loved one won't go to the doctor because there won't be any need for doctors in heaven. Amen? The lame will walk in glory land. The eyes will see in glory land. The dumb will speak in glory land. No more marks of sin. I'll be taken care of. We will be changed into his image, number one, in likeness. That's a human likeness. Number two, we will be changed into his image in holiness. That's a moral likeness. And one last thing, we will be changed into his image in knowledge, a mental likeness. 1 John 3:2, this is a great verse. And if you don't read it right, you will go right by it. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Listen to this verse very carefully. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. As we're sitting here, we are the sons of God, all God's people said. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does seeing him as he is have to do with us being like him? John 1, 1 John 3, verse 2, we shall be like him. It's not talking about a body likeness. It's not talking about a moral likeness. But it's talking about a mental or mind likeness. For we shall see him as he is. That is, we will have an expanded, listen to this very carefully. You will have such an expanded knowledge of God, far beyond your former knowledge, far beyond the kind of thinking you can do today. It will be so superior that this earthly knowledge will vanish and your new knowledge will be supreme on the highest scale. And when you walk into heaven, you will see him and you'll instantaneously know Christ the way you always wanted to know him. You'll see him as he truly is, all God's people said. What knowledge will that? You talk about expansion. Woof. So we will know Christ and know God in a deeper, fuller way. This knowledge will be three things. You may want to write this down. Number one, it will be immediate. There won't be a learning curve in heaven, all God's people said. You won't have to go to class 101, 201, 301, 401, and 501. When you get out of 501, you'll know a lot about God. There's no class in heaven. There's no structure for your learning about Christ. It will be immediate. Will it grow? Yes, but it'll grow simply experientially. The more you're around him, the more you'll know him. And think of this, you'll know God. Nobody have to point him out to you. Nobody have to try and explain him to you. You will have perfect knowledge of Christ and God. You'll be able to speak on the same level as they. You will be able to talk on the same level as the angelic kingdom. Think of that. That's unbelievable. This knowledge will be immediate. Number two, this knowledge will be clearer. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 12. You want to turn there just for a second. It says this, for now, talking about you and I, we see through a glass darkly. That expression is talking about the kind of mirrors they built back then. They didn't have glass mirrors that were an exact representation of what was looking into it. Their mirrors were made out of polished copper or polished plate. They polished it up the best they could, and you got kind of a figure there, but it was not clear. It was marred. And so the way Paul explained that about our life, as we are looking at Christ, and we're trying to understand God, we're trying to get all that we can know about him, it says, now we look through a glass darkly. Some things we miss, some things we don't get, some things are just beyond us. We're just not getting it. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then, listen to this, face to face. What does that mean? That means you're standing in the presence of Christ or God, face to face, talking with them just like you've known them, completely known them all your life. Have you ever had a friend that's been gone for a while and you were so close, they were so dear to you, it was so enjoyable to see them again, and you step into their presence and you just start right there like you had never missed a thing. You're talking to them face to face, and that's what this word, this phrase means, face to face. We're able to converse with God like we've known him forever. Think of that. It will be an immediate knowledge. It will be a clearer knowledge. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, listen to this, even as also I am known. Does God have to guess about things concerning you? How many think God knows what you did tomorrow, did yesterday, and knows what you're going to do tomorrow? You don't have to guess. You don't have to wait for tomorrow and say, oh, I didn't think they'd do that. He knows. It says, now I know in part, but then I'll know even as I am known. Think of that. And by the way, there won't be any reason to hide things because we'll have a life completely clean, life completely perfect, and we will just expand our ability to know things. You will be able to know what others are thinking before they even say the word. All God's people said. Now, you would like to have that right now. You would. There are times when my wife and I have a difficulty. And I look to her and I say, I want to be able to read her mind. But I can't. So I say to myself, if I ask this question, how will she respond? Will I have to say this? Will I have to do that? Well, I mean, it's terrible. Ladies, you have no idea that power you have. And sometimes I'll ask the question and I'll say this to her, is that what I thought I heard? Please tell me it is. None of that in heaven. We will be knowledgeable with a far clearer knowledge. So it will be immediate, it will be clear. Then I wrote this down, and I believe it with my whole heart. This knowledge will be a joyful knowledge. A joyful knowledge. I can't tell you how many times in my Christian life I've said, I just wished I knew what God wanted. Or I just wished I knew for sure how Jesus would respond. In heaven, there will be no wishing. You'll know. And what joyous knowledge that will be to know that every moment of every day throughout all eternity, your life will solely and completely please, honor, and bring praise to God, all God's people said. It won't be blocked by personal limitations. We'll have the joy of knowing Him completely. Our minds will be perfect. I thought of some of those who have a mind crippled by disease or accident. Those that don't get beyond a childlike understanding. Those that can't grasp the gospel or the love of God due to their mind and its inability. But someday they will die. They will go home to heaven. They will open their eyes and see Jesus, and they will know Him perfectly. No limitations any longer. No hardship any longer. They'll just have it snatched away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Do you think their new knowledge will fill them with unspeakable joy? I got to tell you, it will. and it will us also. Do you see how God's moving you? Do you see how God brought you into existence so that you might live a life that bring glory to Him? And knowing that that was something you needed to do and you couldn't do it on your own, He saved you for His own pleasure, made you part of His family, called you into His loving relationship. Then as you were saved and you were beginning to grow, He chose you, picked you out for service so that you learn how to serve Him and do for Him and honor Him and please Him. It's your ministry. Then along with that, He began to so move in your life that you began to act more like Jesus. You begin to desire things that Christ would desire for you. You began to put on Christ-likeness. I've told you that story about the pastor who was in a line with several people at a grocery store, and he just was buying a pop. There was a little lady in front of him. She was older, and she had a few groceries and one piece of fruit, a banana. And she was like 3 or 4 cents short. She didn't have the money, and the cashier was getting a little out of sorts with her over just pennies. And she said, I guess I'll not take the banana. So she left with her little handful of groceries. Was walking away. The pastor stepped to that place and said, I'll take the banana too. He bought the banana and he walked around the corner where that little lady was standing and he said, ma'am, you forgot your banana. She said, what? He said, you forgot your banana. And she cried, and then she looked at this pastor and said, listen to these words, you remind me of Jesus. You give a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it unto me, Jesus said. Folks, we have no idea what it means to be like Jesus. We will know completely when we get to heaven. But as we're living here today, may we so walk that we cause others to say, under their breath or after the fact, those people, act like Jesus would act. We're being made like Him so that we can be conformed to Him someday in heaven. Folks, that's your life's course. That's how this works. That's how God wants to use you and move you and mold you and make you. It's a simple direction, but oh, so necessary in today's Christian life. Lord, help us to live for You. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.